Welcome to the Financial Analysts Journal author interview series. My name is Pat Light, and I'm an assistant editor here at CFA Institute. I'm here today with Martin Sorensen and Ravi Jagannathan to discuss their recent FAJ article, The Public Market Equivalent and Private Equity Performance, which was published in the July-August 2015 issue. Martin and Ravi, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.
In this interview series, we invite our authors to discuss their articles with us, so we'll get started with this first question. Ravi, can you tell us a little bit about the practical issue or issues that motivated your research?
Yes. See, the following is an important issue. Private equity is an important asset class for institutional investors. One of the issues that they face is that private equity investments are extremely illiquid, and you have to be prepared to hold them for a very long period of time to receive the cash flows, including from exits in the very distant future. You'll also be required to participate in intermediate capital calls. That means there'll be some negative cash flows in the near future. Suppose you want to understand the historical performance of private equity investments. How would you do that? A natural approach is to look at history, discount the realized cash flows at a risk premium plus risk-free rate, that is, the risk-adjusted discount rate that's suitably higher than the risk-free, and average these discounted present value of each cash flows and see whether on average you came out ahead. So the question is, what risk-adjusted discount rate should you use? The standard approach in this is to use the cap and beta associated with each cash flow as a measure of systematic risk and adjust the discount rate accordingly. The problem here is that this is easier said than, but very hard to implement. That's because private equity investments are highly levered, financial and operating leverages are high, and that leverage changes over time. So the cap and beta varies a lot over time and typically different for each cash flow. That makes it very difficult to compute what beta to use, at what cash flow duration that you're looking at, and how to adjust using the standard cap. Kaplan and Shore actually came up with an innovative approach to solve this problem, which they call PME, or the public market equivalent. When I was listening to Kaplan's presentation at a conference in March 2013 in Stanford, I realized that the PME is equivalent to using now what is known as the dynamic CAPM, as opposed to the standard CAPM, which is static. The dynamic CAPM is due to Mark Rubenstein. Establishing this connection helps us understand that the PME measure is very versatile, can be readily modified to suit specific situations of a given institutional investor. See, this link to theory helps one to realize how to modify the PME measure to suit one's needs. When Martin Sorensen visited me at Kellogg a month later, I mentioned this to him, and Martin found also that it was very interesting. Since no one else seemed to have noticed this connection, we decided to write this as an article for the FAJ. That's how the whole process started.
And Martin, can you tell us a little bit about your approach to solving this issue that Ravi brought up?
Yeah, I think it was sort of an ongoing process. As Ravi mentioned, it started at the conference at Stanford, where there was this presentation of another research paper that used this approach. And when Ravi heard that, he related that to the Rubenstein model of valuation. And then I visited Kellogg a few months after that, and we started talking about this problem of how to evaluate private equity performance and how these different valuation models were related. The thing about the Rubenstein model that we're using here is that it's quite counterintuitive if you're used to the standard way of valuing projects or valuing cash flows. So it took a while for me to wrap my head around exactly how the mechanics work out. But after I realized it, it turns out that this approach is surprisingly robust and surprisingly useful for valuing cash flows, typically those that arise from private equity or venture capital funds.
And can you tell us a little bit about your findings, or a little bit about how your findings or your results will influence practice in the field?
Yeah, so I think that the takeaway from our findings is that the PME measure that has been developed for evaluating private equity performance is surprisingly robust in its basic form. So in its basic form, it does account for differences in risk and differences in leverage across these different funds and investment types. So the basic measure is a surprisingly strong and robust measure with a very solid theoretical foundation. And nobody really realized that before. And one of the things I think it may influence is that some market participants have tried to develop adjusted versions of the PME to account for the leverage or account for the differences in the risk. I think that what our results show is that these adjustments are quite unnecessary because the basic version of the PME already accounts for all these different features that the other people are trying to adjust for.
And is there anything else either of you would like to add before we let you go here?
Yeah, one important insight that comes from going and relating it to theory is that the benchmark will depend on the particular institutional investor looking at the cash flows from PE investment or a particular PE investment. That's the first thing. So instead of the S&P 500 return as the benchmark, you may want to use the return on the endowment portfolio as a whole, which may actually include other assets than publicly traded stocks, and may even include estimates of returns on illiquid assets in the portfolio. So that's an important insight. And that tells you that the PME measure can be tailor-made to suit each individual's particular situation. That makes it very general in terms of application.
And Martin, do you have anything else you'd like to add, any insights that you drew from it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that maybe taking this one step further, one idea we got out of this research is that different investors may have different valuations for the same investments in private equity funds. So we can relate that eventually to the fundamental characteristics of these different investors, such as pension funds or university endowments, and what their appetite for illiquidity and for different risk exposures are, and thereby adjusting their valuations of private equity investments accordingly.
Yeah, it does seem like it's got some pretty wide-reaching implications. Martin and Ravi, thank you so much for taking the time to share your research and your ideas with us. We encourage all of you listening to read this article and articles from other CFA Institute publications on our website, cfapubs.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter at cfapubs. Thanks for listening, and Martin and Ravi, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Copyright 2015 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.